Thank the Lord already today for the wonderful service we've encountered. I was just sitting there thinking, Brother Jim, my messages throughout the week, this past week, was out of Nehemiah chapter 4 mainly, and had a message on the dedication of the saints, had a dedication on too much rubbish, and a message, and then we ended up preaching on trying to be an encouragement to the people, but also to help us all to realize that we're all in the work together. From the man of God right on out the house, each and every one of us have a work to do, and it must be done if God's people are going to bear forth the great light that we're supposed to. If you would, I'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. While you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our radio audience, also those on sermon audio and those in our parking lot today. Thankful to see that you're out, praying God will bless you. But today we do welcome you into the sanctuary of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church by way of radio and audio. Praying God will just do a blessing to you today. We are located just inside of Greenup County, out of Carter County. You can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We have a sign on either end of Laurel Road giving you directions to the meeting house of God's people at Emmanuel. Today, I listened to a great deal of different ideas and thoughts from time to time of men. Men that want to put their laurels and hang them up high for the world to see. They expect that that's one of the things that are going to get them into heaven. I've heard men tell me about their good's going to outweigh their bad. I've heard many other things that, preacher, I just don't sin. I want to know today what you're standing on. What is that which you're relying upon today to give you peace and comfort of mind? In 2 Peter in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 12, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is where you got to stand. You can't stand in and of your own righteousness because we have none of ourselves. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, ask yourself the question this morning, what kind of evidences are in my life of salvation? Is there true evidences of something special going on in the inner man? But he that lacketh these things, in verse 9, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. What are you standing upon today? Are you standing upon the promises? You know, we sing that old song from time to time on page 9, Standing on the Promises. Are you standing on the promises of God for eternal life, for salvation? Are you standing upon the promises of God for forgiveness of sin and no condemnation? These are promises that you must stand on in order to have the peace that's mentioned in verse 2 of our text. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, tonight as we come before Your throne, we do come thanking You for the day which You've given us. And Lord, what a blessed thought we have running through our minds even now of that great salvation. That which we stand upon for assurance and peace. Lord, I pray that if there be those in our sound of our voice today who do not understand the peace of God that passeth all understanding, Father, may this be the day that they find themselves standing on the promises of God, standing upon the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, dear God, today I pray that You will bless this message. Help me, Lord. Lord, give me freedom of speech and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remove that which would hinder. And Father, I pray that You would even now be in our midst, walking up and down these aisles and in and out of these pews, touching the hearts of every lost soul that's gathered here. The Father, also I pray for Your children. Lord, that You would reassure us once again today through Thy precious promises, the great joy of our salvation, the contentment that we have in the assurance of the everlasting joys. Father, I pray that You will bless those that may even now be under the hearing of our word who may not be with us. Lord, I pray that You would bring convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon them. May this be the very hour, O God, that they finally hear the Word of God for the first time, the joy of salvation in the gospel message. So, Father, I pray that You bless our gathering. Protect us, O God. Watch over us. Lord, I pray that You'll forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Standing on the promises of God. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends and all those listening by way of audio, this is a very precious thought this morning, one which lends to our hearts and minds peace and comfort that verse 2 offers each and every child of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As a matter of fact, that which we are speaking of today speaks about the immutability of God and His promise that He cannot go back on, and He will not. And it is this lively hope that 1 Peter, the first epistle that was written, says in chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have been begotten again unto a lively hope. That is a real hope. That's a hope that the world cannot offer you. That's the hope that only Jesus Christ and Him crucified can give even now to those that are in our sanctuary and those that hear this word. It's a feeling of contentment. It's a feeling of assurance, and it's a feeling of the everlasting joy of salvation, real salvation. You know, the reason why tonight or today that there are so many that are perplexed when they hear the gospel message, they are pricked in their hearts is because they do not know the real joy that this book talks about. They don't understand the real peace that it offers, and yet they're longing for that peace and contentment, and they're trying to get it by going about it the wrong way. So as we come together today, we are able to do so because of God's gift, which lends itself to us today, these precious... Well, the Bible says here, if I go back in verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises. So just what are some of these wonderful promises that you could stand on, like we sing in our song? Standing on the promises. I cannot fail. Amen. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Standing on the promises. All today may be the day that you have the all in all by standing on the promises. So first of all, I want you to know today there's a promise to you of forgiveness of sin. And this is one thing that many people today feel like they can never achieve, is a full forgiveness of sin. But in Acts, if you'll go there with me for just a moment to the book of Acts, notice what it says in chapter 13 here. I want you to know there is forgiveness offered in God's Word to those who come unto Him. For the Bible says in verse 38 of this text, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe," listen to this, "are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So today as we look at this gospel message, the reason why we can never find contentment in our works, the reason why we can never find real joy in our works, is because there is no real joy in works. As far as salvation is concerned, as attaining salvation, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied trying to work your way to heaven. You'll never find an ease of heart. You'll never find the removal of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit if you're trying to get to heaven by your good works. Because the Bible says here very plainly in verse 38 again, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." You see? Does that mean the law of Moses is bad for us? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, it tells us that. The law is not something bad for humanity. It's a needed thing. It's needful today to help humanity to walk the way that the Lord would have them to walk. As you look at the laws of our states and our countries, they're taken from the Word of God. The reason why that it's wrong to murder is because God's Word says, "Thou shalt not kill." The reason why that we have on the law books that it's wrong for unlawful entry and theft is because God's Word says, "Thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not steal." I mean, we go through all these things so we understand that the law of God is really good for humanity. But the law of God will not get you to heaven. The law of God is not designed to get you to heaven. As a matter of fact, the law of God is designed to point you to the one who is able to get you to heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So by works of righteousness, we can never find the relief that real forgiveness gives us. Real forgiveness offers relief to the weary heart. Real forgiveness offers that which only Jesus can give. In Ephesians, if you'll go back over there in chapter 1, Ephesians in chapter 1, and I want you to look at a portion of Scripture here in verse 3 to begin with. I'll also read verse 7, but here the Bible says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What are you standing on right now? If you're sitting under the hearing of my word and your heart is overwhelmed with convicting power of the Holy Spirit, no doubt you have nothing to stand on, are you? You're standing up on a shelf with an open flame beneath you. And there's only one way to find the relief from that open flame, a place called hell. And that's through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. What are you standing on today? What are you relying upon right now to take away this awful feeling deep down in your soul? You've not found anything yet, have you? You've not found anything to relieve you of the oppression of not knowing. But listen, God's Word offers to you something that you can rest upon. God's Word offers to you today forgiveness and a complete forgiveness of sin. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. We're just right here close in the book of Colossians. Notice what it says here in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, and you, we that are saved by the grace of God, understand this, don't we? We know that there was a time when we were steeped in sin and buried under the weight of God's convicting power. But here the Bible says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. And the very next verse talks about the blotting out of the handwriting. Speaking of the law again, we must understand that it's not that gives us peace. It's not that offers the grace of God in verse 2 of our text. It is the pure gospel message and believing upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. In Psalm 78 and verse 38, the Bible says, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Is that not what you're needing right now? Is that not exactly what you need right this very moment? To be forgiven of all your sins and all your trespasses? Is it not right now exactly what you're seeking deep down in your soul? You feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You know within you that you're a sinner and you're on the way to a devil's hell. And without Jesus Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. You know that. God's Word tells you that. Now let me ask you something. Are you ready for the relief that His Word offers you? You see, His Word offers us relief through the form of forgiveness. And this promise is to us today as well. So often the thought comes to my mind and I wonder what a precious promise is offered to fallen and sinful humanity. I find in another portion of the Old Testament Scripture which should bless our souls in Psalm 85 and verse 2, the Bible says, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Now stop there for just a moment. It has been said to me from time to time that, preacher, you just don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the blackness of my heart. But yet the Word of God says, I have forgiven and will forgive all your trespasses and all your iniquities. That should offer to you this very moment the peace and grace that God's Word offers in verse 2 of our text. Is this not exactly what we need as fallen humanity? And this is exactly what sinners need to know this very hour, that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will say to you this very moment exactly what He told the one that we mentioned, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about the man sick of palsy. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. That's what He says to our hearts the very moment that we turn to God and believe that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. It is though He speaks your name audibly almost to your heart. And it's like, "Thy sins are forgiven." That is the only way you'll find peace. To know that forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look with me, if you will. And this is one of those scriptures that I really love to get a hold of, and I love to read it because I think just the reading of this scripture brings about peace to my heart. It's found in Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18 is doing just exactly what I implore you to do today. To listen to the Word of God. Think about what God's Word is offering you this very hour. In the form of forgiveness of sin. He says in verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Again, understand the word reason. It means to consider, to think. You look this word up in the Hebrew, and this is the exact definition for this word in the book of Isaiah. And the word is this: "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Think about where you're at right now in life. Think about right now, right where you're at. Is there something gnawing at your heart? Is there something that's gnawing and eating at you and trying its best to destroy you? Listen, God's Word says, think about this now. Consider what I'm saying. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It's kind of hard to hide the crimson letter, isn't it? You know, back in the old days, when a woman was caught in sin, they would put upon her forehead a big letter A in red. And it would tell everybody in the world about her sin. And it could not be hid. There were some instances where among the Indian nations that they would chop off the end of the nose of a woman. And that surely couldn't be something that would be hid. But yet in God's Word says, though they be like that, though your sins be as marked as that, He says, "I'll make them just as white as snow, like that never happened." Friend, that's what you need to do. That's what each and every one of us need deep down in our hearts, a feeling like it never even happened. Look at Luke chapter 1 with me for just a moment. Luke in chapter 1. Look at verse 76 to begin with. Luke 1 and 76. Notice what Jesus Christ, notice the light that was given here of John and Jesus as Jesus was about to be born. You know, the Bible speaks about the fact that He was going to be the light that lighteth every man. As a matter of fact, here, as Zacharias is being spoke to, the Bible says this: "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to do what? To prepare His ways. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins." That's what you need today, my friend. Remission of sins. "Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace. You know what? Conviction doesn't give you much peace, does it? As a matter of fact, someone who's under convicting power of the Holy Spirit has no peace. They have no peace until the relentlessness of the convicting power is sustained by the gospel message and believing upon the gospel message and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. That's when there is relief finally. That's when there is peace. Now, secondly, once sins are forgiven as promised, we're promised eternal life. Amen. What's the alternative to eternal life? Eternal death in a place called hell. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 3 for just a moment. In John chapter 3, begin reading at verse 14. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, this is to you today. This is what is being offered to you today through the Word of God. Not only do you have forgiveness offered to you, but eternal life forevermore. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth," again, these are the key words that you got to get a hold of, believeth. Do you believe the Scriptures? Do you believe what thus saith the Lord? Do you believe what God's Word says today about salvation? That is the key, believing. You say, "Well, preacher, it seems so hard. It seems so hard." But yet, God's Word is saying that's what it must take, is believe. Believe that He came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He came to pay your sin debt, yours personally. That's when it makes a difference in your life. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Where do you stand right now? Sinner friend, you need a Savior. You need to know this forgiveness of sins. You need to know this eternal life thing. You got to have this message down. Because without it, you're going to spend eternity in what is known as a devil's hell. An eternal death. Do you know what it is? You know, the Bible says something about to the effect, and we'll read this probably tonight, but you know, there's a coming a time when Satan's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. Bottomless. What's it like when your nightmare awakes you in your sleep and you're falling? It's like you're never going to hit the bottom. The torture and torment of all that for all eternity. What a horrible thing to go through. In John 4 and 14, the Bible says this, "But whosoever drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What are you standing on today? You need to stand on the promises. The promise of forgiveness and eternal life, for without it you will never find peace for your soul. Eternal life. This, my friend, is what you need right now. For without eternal life, you will suffer the torments of an eternal fire in a place which was prepared for the devil himself, a place called hell. You see that in Matthew 25 and verse 41. But to all who will come unto the Lord, they are promised an escape of this eternal judgment. They are promised life everlasting. What are you standing on today? What are you resting upon right now? Is it the fact that you've got time ahead of you? You think you've got time ahead of you? Is that what you're resting upon? Because God's Word says we're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. Young, old, middle age, older folks. You know, we're not. None of us are promised of what it's going to be. When it's going to come. But we know according to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is coming. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Problem is, we don't know when that time is coming for us. Lastly today, we have covered the promise of forgiveness. We have just finished covering the promise of eternal life. But now there's also a promise of the long home, like Ecclesiastes 12:5 speaks of. Every man's going to go to that long home, wherever it is. Where have you prepared to go to? You know, oftentimes, sometimes, not every time, but you know, when we go on vacation, we want to know where our destination is, don't we? We want to know how to get there. We want to know what it's going to take to get there. The same way needs to come to the end of your life. You need to know your destination, your final destination. You're being told how to get there right now. The road map is before you. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The Apostle Paul had a way with words to get our attention, to let us know. Listen, you've been told. Your teachers have told you the gospel. Your mom and dad, your grandparents have told you how to get to heaven. They've told you the everlasting truth. The pastor that stands before you even now is telling you the truth of salvation. There is no hidden agenda with the Word of God. You either believe it or you don't. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. Where's that home going to be for you? Eternal life, my friend, leads to heaven. Look at Philippians with me for just a moment in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. Notice what it says here in verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3, for our conversation is in heaven. In other words, that's our home, our dwelling place. Abraham was said to have had a dwelling place, a conversation somewhere other than the earth. For our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is yours in heaven. I mean, right now we're just kind of visiting this earth. But where is your citizenship? Right now, as you sit in this house of God or listening by way of radio or CD or whatever it may be, let me ask you something. Where is your citizenship right now as you sit right now? Are you on your way to heaven or on your way to hell? Where is your final destination going to be? If you was to die right now, where would you spend eternity? And again, I use the word spend very loosely here because you'll never be able to spend eternity. It is something that goes on throughout for all time. Well, I use another word denoting space, but let me tell you something. Eternity is without end. How's that? There is no end. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even subdue all things unto Himself. Where are you right now? Are you on your way to heaven? Go back now to 1 Peter chapter 1 for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible speaks of this lively hope in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. In other words, it has reborn us. It has rekindled our spirit, our soul, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Is your home reserved right now for you? A promise made, a promise prayed, and a promise kept. That's what Jesus offers. Do you recall what Christ said to the thief on the cross of Calvary in Luke 23? Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." If you was to die right this day, could that be said of you? Is that a promise that you can count on right now? Is that something that you're relying upon, that Jesus said, if you were to die right now, you would be with me? You know, that's what I ask usually. Everyone that makes a profession of faith, I ask them this one question. If you was to die right now, where would you go? Heaven, amen. We go to heaven if we're saved. Folks, I want you to know this right now, that that's what's being offered through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The promise of a heavenly home. The promise of the hereafter. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Or do you have that kind of confidence that if you was to die today, you would go to heaven? If you're relying on the promise of God, you've got that, don't you? You've got that deep down in your heart. Oh, today I pray that you'll get a hold of this. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. We're going to come to a close right here in just a moment, but I want you to look at a few more scriptures with me. I pray God will drive your heart and mind even now. Are you standing on the right promises? You see, the promises of man will not get you anywhere. I've heard it all. I've heard men say that, listen, if your good outweighs your bad, you'll be all right. That's not the right promise to lean on, because you're not. I've heard individuals say, listen, as long as you get baptized, you'll be all right. That's not what God's Word says, is it? That's the wrong promise to lean on. I'll tell you what you must lean on. You must lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Salvation comes in, then we have the work of baptism. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. Use the English language in its right way. But now in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," in other words, unknowing, "concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, that by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, that brings comfort, doesn't it? To know that salvation is offered through God's Word and it's offered to all who will come unto Him. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest from what? Rest from your convicting soul, your convicted soul. The Holy Spirit has convicted you of your sins and you know you're a sinner and it's tearing you up, isn't it? You know. You can find rest for your souls here today. Right now, right where you're at, whether you're in this house or outside in that parking lot, whether you're around the world somewhere or coming from WGOH radio, you can find the sweet release through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by believing the Scripture. You know right now. Maybe you know right now that if you was to die, maybe if you know right now if you was going down the road and death met you, and who knows? We don't know. But if you are saved, if you're saved when that time comes, listen, the Bible says you're ushered right into the very throne room of God. The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You know why? Because he did not believe the Scriptures on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why. But I want you to know today, you can go home to a place called paradise, a place called heaven. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 14, if you'll go there with me in my closing remarks, in John chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1, now get a hold of this, is this where you're going? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. How's that? This old book right here just told you the way. Believing the Scriptures. Believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. The very first four verses of Scripture tell you what the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Plus nothing and minus nothing. You must believe that in order to be saved. And this old book has it. It offers it to you this morning. What are you standing on? This book here holds the promises that you can rest in. This old book here holds the promises that you can count on. Are you standing on the promises? May God help you, is our great prayer this morning. Because these truly are, as the Bible declares, promises that you can stand on. Let's all stand, please. Standing on the promises. Are you doing that this morning? Are you standing on the Word of God, the hope of salvation? Do you know that even right now, deep down in your heart, that you need that Savior? Then believe that He died for you. Believe that He paid your sin debt. And thou shalt be saved. Almost gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we bow in your presence, we do come thanking you for the day which you've given us. And thank you, dear God, for the great privilege once again to stand behind the pulpit and proclaim the glorious truth of salvation. Father, I pray for the lost and dying world outside and in this house, for those out in the world, wherever they may be, Lord, they need to know the promises And they need to be able to stand upon them. The only way they can do it is to have their eyes opened, their ears unstopped, their heart broken, that they may see themselves as you see them. And they may come repenting of sin, trusting thee as Savior. Lord, I pray that that might happen even this very hour. Save souls and save lives. And Father, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.